Evening, everyone. How's everyone? Can't you hear me? Is that better? Okay. First, before I open, I think I just need to share why I came across this message or why I think I need to talk about it. I wanted to talk about this about a week ago, and throughout this week, I've been changing my mind. But no other message was talking to me like this one was talking to me. And then this morning when we came here and Pastor Keith started to speak about the blood, I understood why this message was speaking to me. There's a few things I wanted to talk about. First, I wanted to talk about why do bad things happen. That's quite a challenge to talk about. Then I wanted to change it to fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And what's the difference between them? But that still wasn't talking to me, and I stumbled onto why was the cross necessary? And that one spoke to me. So you guys can please turn to me to Romans chapter 3. Speak louder. Okay, we'll be reading from verse 10 to 18. And then from 25 to 26. Okay. So it says, as Scripture says, not one person has God's approval. No one understands. No one searches for God. Everyone has turned away. Together they have become rotten to the core. No one does anything good. Not even one person. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deception. Their lips hide the venom of poisonous snakes. Their mouths are full of coarse and bitter resentment. They run quickly to murder people. There is ruin and suffering wherever they go. They have not learned to live in peace. They are not terrified of God. Now from verse 24, it says, they receive God's approval, freeing by an act of His kindness. Through the price of Jesus Christ, paid to set us free from sin. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy where God's approval is given. Given through faith in Christ's blood. In His patience, God waited to deal with sins committed in the past. He waited so that He could display His approval at the... Sorry guys, I'm really struggling. So that He could display His approval at the present time. This shows that He is God of justice, a God who approves of people who believes in Jesus. So my message is going to be going around verse 26. Of what we just read. The verse shows that God is just and justifier of him that has faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so thousands of years ago, the Romans actually crucified thousands of people, right? It wasn't just one man that got crucified. They were hung by a cross, nails put through their bones and their feet. They actually found the bone of a guy's heel with a nail straight through it. So it's not that it just went through the flesh. They stuck it through the bone and through your hands and tied you to a cross where you were mocked. And before you were even put up on the cross, you were whipped. And for us, as Christians, the cross has become a symbol. But we forget to realize that it's a symbol of execution. Is like hanging a noose or an electric chair around our necks. Yah wrote, the symbol of Christianity was a tool of execution. We have put it everywhere. We have put it on our bracelets, on wallpapers. We've even stuck it to our cars. But because of this, we failed to see that we are carrying around a symbol that portrayed a gruesome death. It doesn't hit us as much as it should because we've made it pretty and we've put it on. Yes, it is a beautiful image, and I believe it needs to stay a beautiful image. But we mustn't forget the pain and the suffering that goes along with that cross. If we look at all the books that teach us about Jesus, almost a third of the pages were dedicated just to speak about his death, right? In the rest of the New Testament, there are 300 references to his death, right? I always thought that, before I actually stumbled onto this message, I've always wondered, why can't God just forgive us? Why did Jesus have to come down and die? He is a loving God, of course. But as I go through this, you'll see the two points that come out. For us to understand why this happened, we can't only look at the love of God, but we also have to understand the law of God. If you only believed in the love of God, like I used to, the cross becomes unnecessary because God would have just forgiven you anyways. So this is crucial that we understand that there's also the law of God. And I'll be speaking about both things separately to help you guys understand. Jesus didn't only come down to talk about the love of God. He never came down to just talk about the love of God, else there would have never been a reason for him to die on the cross. It's when we believe in the love of God and the law of God that this becomes necessary. But the problem with this is there are two polar opposites. Love of God is the one that forgives you, and the law of God is the one that condemns you. And they can't be brought together. But there's only one instance where those two come together, and that is at the cross. It is like with your own son or daughter. If they've done something naughty, you can't punish them and forgive them. You can't let them go free and not have punishment and punish them. It doesn't work that way. They don't work hand in hand. Speaking about the love of God, if I had to do that, I'd probably be here all night. We've grown up learning about this, and we've talked about it many times. You can go to anyone at Varsity, and that people approach me talking about the love of God. So we'll not touch too much on that, because I believe as we sit here, we probably know a lot about it. And if I really had to get into it, we'd really be a long time. So I'm going to be talking about the law of God, firstly. Our God is not only a father, but he is a king. It is not like here where we have government that decide on a constitutional law, where laws get voted in. When a king gave a rule, that rule was done. And we see this as we go to Adam and Eve. God gave them a rule not to eat the apple. And when he took his people out of Egypt, he gave them the Ten Commandments. It was 10 laws. So God is a king, and that's what we need to understand here as well. He's Lord Maker. Jesus wasn't just preaching about the fatherhood of God, but the kingship of God. Yes, he mentions God being a father, but he emphasizes and stressed the fact that it's a kingship. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, so can anybody tell me why do they think God had to create laws? Anybody? I'm asking a question. There will be a test. Okay. Think of it in normal day. The reason why there are laws is because we have to live together. Could you imagine walking out on the street and there were no rules to the road, right? It would be utter chaos. No one would stop. Everyone would go. They'd be driving the wrong side of the road, up a one-way street, right? That is why there has to be laws in place. It's because we have to live together. If there weren't laws, we'd all have to be separated. We'd all have to be put on our own separate island where we can't murder someone, where we can't kill, where we can't blaspheme, where we can't wish death upon someone. And the same thing is, if you have a law without a punishment, then the law is pointless. So imagine now a rugby game, and they have their rules. But if they break those rules, they don't get a yellow or red card. Do you think they're going to keep to the rules? You'll break it. So that's why he has to enforce his rules. In society, we have different penalties for crimes that we commit. So if you steal, you'll go to jail for 6 months. Or if you kill someone, you'll go to jail for life. But the difference with God is, if you break his laws, it is death. And there are two things that happen when you disobey God's laws. One of the things will, his soul will be killed, and you'll have no longer desire for God. You'll no longer want to learn about him. You'll no longer feel the need to come to church. And that's what happens when you disobey God's laws. And finally, his body will die, and he will not have eternal life. Now, let's bring this down to the cross. Let's see how does the cross influence the law side. Because the cross is the loving side, and the law side is, obviously, can't think of the right word right now, but you guys understand what I'm saying. Imagine someone jumping off a building or in front of a car, and you see this happen. Then you ask, why did that man do it? And someone replies, because he loved you. That doesn't make any sense. A man just jumping off a building kills himself, and that's the way he shows you love. That doesn't make sense. But it's different when you think of it as him jumping in the water or in front of the car to save you. And he doesn't show love in the act of saving you. Because he saved you, he showed you love. And that is how the cross is. And that is why it is like that. Because God could have just came down and just plucked us all out. He could have, I don't know, just let it happen. But there was a process and there was a meaning behind it. Now, when we come down to the cross, there's a little bit of conflict of interest here. And that is justice or mercy. It's the same as that example I gave you. If your child is naughty, are you going to show him just or are you going to show him mercy? Are you going to punish your child or are you going to forgive him for what he did? And those two things cannot happen at the same time. They cannot overlap because they contradict one another. Whether God chooses to punish you or pardon you, we have all broken his laws. But how does God choose? Because we can't do both. And this leads people to two opposite extremes. So you get the extreme of people believing that I can do what I want. God will forgive me. They believe that since he's a loving God, there are no punishments. You'll just be loved. Then you get the other extreme where you think that God is taking everything down, every little bad thing that you do, and that when you finally go and stand in front of him, you're going to have to pay for all of that. But this still doesn't explain what God is. The answer, sorry, there's a comma, the comma's not there, doesn't sound right. But this doesn't explain what God is. The answer is God is both. He's both just and merciful. And he needed the cross to show that. So it is a little bit confusing to understand how can you be both just and merciful. So I'm going to end off with a little bit of a story. There was once a woman that was caught stealing. Her husband was no longer around, and she had children to feed. They caught her, and she was in front of a judge. And the judge said, you have two options. One, you pay a very heavy fine. Or two, you go to prison for 6 months. And she pleaded with the judge, saying that she's the only mother and she cannot take care of her children. She can't pay that fine. And the judge said, I'm sorry, but I'm a judge. I have to rule. So what he did is he ruled on the fine. And as she was breaking down, crying, wondering how she's going to do it, the judge took out his checkbook and wrote the check for her. In this is the same as the cross. We see justice and mercy at the same thing. Jesus took our price and paid it for us. Only in this way can someone that is innocent pay our crimes for us. And that's it.